Hello, everybody. Welcome to Journey into Comics, the podcast that takes you through all of time and space. My name is Nate Phillips. If you don't know me, I come from a small town of about 6,000 people. Not a lot to do there. I was born and raised in said small town, currently living in the Chicagoland area, and I am a dealer of blackjack. Now, that being said, let's start with work. Having a job fucking sucks, but it's awesome. Because you make money, and money is good and evil all at once. Being that I work at a casino, there's a lot of, I don't know how you would word it. There's a lot of strange things that happen. I've seen people walk up with $10,000, and in one or two hands of blackjack, they have $0 in front of them. And in my head, I'm going, wow, that was the entire total of my collective debt. Way to make me feel fucking tiny, you piece of shit. And then I've also had success stories where people are first-time gamblers, don't know what they're doing, they're just having fun. They walk away making $700, $800, $900, and they're the most excited I've ever seen a person. They thank you a million times because it's this great thing. And then at the same time, those same people could very well become the kind of people that get bamboozled and end up being addicted to gambling, which is a real thing. You can very well become addicted to gambling because a lot of the way that the people who, in fact, gamble look at it is, I've lost this much, so if I can come in and make up that big of a loss, then I'll have my money back from the casino and I don't ever need to go back. But the problem is they never make their money back. If you talk to the average gambler, they would probably say they buy in per night at $500. So if they lose $500 in 5 days, $2,500, okay? Now they're chasing $2,500. So in a month, they go from losing $500 to, what is it, like $35,000, I think would maybe be the total. 500 times 30, we'll call 30 the average. And 5 times 30, whoa, how about... redo my math. Wow. Showing that I work at a casino, that would be $15,000, okay, that they lose in a month collectively. So now, in a year, in the first month of the year, they are chasing $15,000. Sometimes people get it back. They get lucky. They make a shoot ton of money. I intentionally, censored myself there. I don't care. But they make a ton of money, and then they leave, and they never come back. But for the most part, people are hooked on gambling because they never will get the experience of their first win again, and that's all they want. At the end of the day, all those people want is to feel the feeling they got the first time they stepped into the casino and made money. To me, that is a impossible task. Because here's the thing. When you go into a casino for the first time and you've never gambled before, especially on table games, there's a lot of really blind luck, just stupidity, you know? So that being said, you don't know what you're doing, and all of a sudden, if there's a lot of money in front of you, and obviously the word a lot of money can vary between person to person. What may be $1,500 is a lot to one person. That might be, you know, clown shoes to another person. Dogma reference. Back at it, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about everything else. I have been in a band for 10 years. I've been making music for 10 years with the same band. We've had a few member changes. That's kind of cool. We're not the greatest thing since sliced bread. We're just doing it to have fun. It's for the love of music. It's not because I want to make $20 billion. If anybody would like to pay for $20 billion, I'd be more than happy. I don't see that happening, though. I love making music because it's an outlet. It's a release. It's somewhere that if I'm extraordinarily pissed off or if I'm extraordinarily sad, hell, if I'm extraordinarily happy, I'm going to go and I'm going to jam and I'm going to feel better about myself. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll feel worse about myself, but that's not the point. Let's move on. You know a little bit about me. I know nothing about my listeners because I don't know who's going to listen to this. I might have 200 people listen to it. I might have 2,000 people listen to this, and it doesn't matter to me. I just want to talk. I like to talk. It's what I do for a living. I mean, 60% of me dealing at a casino is talking to people. I have to reassure them that, hey, it's okay. You lost your money. It's okay. We can always get it back. I always tell that to my players. We can get the money back. You just have to have one good shoe. You just have to have one good hand. You just have to know when to bet the right amount. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. I don't know who fucking wrote that stupid song, but it's in my head. Anyways, I want to talk a little bit about, initially, I was going to call this podcast My Comic Book Life, and focus mainly on just me and comic books, and that's a part of me, but there's so much more. But I'm going to go ahead and shed some light on my affinity and love for comics, and go from there. So I live up in the Chicagoland area with my girlfriend. Most of you know her as the Woods Woman, a.k.a. Sarah. And because of her dad, I got into collecting comics on an extreme level. He started collecting the Amazing Spider-Man series. There are 700 issues of the Amazing Spider-Man, and also with that, there are 5, 6, 7 point issues where it was not actually a number. Like it was like 700.1, 700.2. That it was like, hey, this isn't really the story, but this is a little side story that'll just be fun for you to read that we didn't want to try to fit into the main story, right? We have, so he started collecting them and had a list, and he's like just on a piece of paper just wrote out like what ones he had, and then I, with my extreme OCD, went on Photoshop and I made a really nice professional list. If you would like that list and you know where to find me, I will gladly send you a file of that list so you can print it off for yourself for your own checklist, right? So I make this really elaborate, very nice checklist, and with that being said, the checklist, I start filling it out, and then I'm like, wow, there's so many holes. Let's fix that. So I went on a binge, and really, I bought way too many comics way too fast and was kind of stupid. I didn't really think about it. I'm a lot smarter now, but whatever. That's in the past. Here's the present. That moment of collecting comics with him, which we still do. We still collect Amazing Spider-Mans and the original X-Men and the Avengers, Fantastic Four, Tales to Astonish / The Incredible Hulk. They bled into each other. But really, from there, I wanted to start my own collection and have all of whatever I wanted to collect. So I jumped onto the Marvel, all-new Marvel launching point they had last year, I think it was. Early last year, like November or October, something like that. Anyways, started collecting all-new X-Men, which is phenomenal. If you don't have it, give it a read. You will not be disappointed. It's a very interesting take on the X-Men. And then I also started collecting Superior Spider-Man, which a lot of that came from reading the end of Amazing Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man ends, and as soon as it ended, the beginning of Superior Spider-Man starts, and Superior Spider-Man is brilliant. They're going to probably end Superior Spider-Man around issues 30 or 31 or 35. I don't, somewhere they're planning on ending it, and they're going to bring Amazing Spider-Man back. So essentially, it's going to be Amazing Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, back to Amazing Spider-Man. Really cool. So, I started collecting Superior Spider-Mans. I have all of them to date, still working on the variants. I, upon collecting this, started talking Pat into, hey, we should go for some of the harder to get, rarer Amazing Spider-Mans. Now, we've ended up with some great ones. We do have issues 131 to current, so that's like a boatload. But we also have some cool older issues. Issue 13, the first appearance of Mysterio. Issues 96 through 98, which were the drug issues. If you don't know about the drug issues, essentially the Comic Code Authority said, hey, Spider-Man, if you don't have the Comic Code Authority approval stamp, we can't print you. And they printed it anyways because the whole thing was about Harry Osborn being addicted to drugs. So they did a 3-issue story arc that was about drugs, and the Comic Code Authority said no. You can't, but they printed it anyway. So they're really cool to have because they're different from the rest of the comics in those runs. We have the first appearance of the Punisher, which is issue 129. We have the, they relaunched Amazing Spider-Man at like issue 4 something. I can't remember what it is. 440 something, 42, I think. Not sure. Anyways, when they redid it, they started renumbering it, issue 1, 2, 3, and so on. And people were like, no, 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 you got to bring back the old numbering system because these are still, the story is still continuing. So before they brought back the old story or the old numbering system, they actually did issue 36. If you have issue 36, you know its importance. And if you don't have issue 36, I'm going to tell you its importance. Issue 36 is what we call the 9/11 tribute issue. The cover is 100% blacked out. There's no art at all. It just says The Amazing Spider-Man in a white font, very basic. And it's just about Spidey being helpless and not being able to help anybody during 9/11. And it was a really dark, dramatic take, but it's such a great, great read. I strongly suggest that. So moving on from like the Marvel world, I started collecting the newer Batmans. They did the New 52. DC did their relaunch before Marvel did, but they did New 52, and I pretty much only read Batman. I know that's kind of biased of me, so I read like Batman, Batman the Dark Knight, Batman and Robin, which has become Batman and fill in the blank, don't ask why, and Detective Comics, Batman. So from there, in doing all this, my buddy said, hey, do you watch The Walking Dead? And I was like, no, at the time I couldn't get into the show. And he's like, dude, read the comics first and you'll totally love it. So he gave me a flash drive with all the comics on it, issues 1 to like issue 105, I think. And in 4 days, I read all the issues, every single issue, everything. I knew everything about the show and I had watched the show. I had read the comics. I had got everything was taken care of. I was an expert on The Walking Dead in 4 days. Then came the rain. I started collecting The Walking Deads. What a trip. In 1 year, I have collected 116 issues of The Walking Dead out of 118. The only two I don't have are issues 1 and 2, which I would gladly take as donation. If you have a first print, I would be greatly appreciated. The first print only, or the first issue only had 7,300 in its first run. So that means there were 7,300 comics printed of issue 1, and that was it. They did a couple reprints. I'm not into reprints. I like first print. That's how I am. Issue 2 had 6,100 roughly printed of it, and that was pretty low run as well. They're really pricey. They're the only two I don't have. But again, if you would like to donate to me, I will not say no, obviously. So that's a little bit about my comics. It's a lot of fun to be a collector of comics, but it's also like a job. And I say that because it's a job. You have to keep on it. You can't say, oh, I'll pick up those issues in a few weeks. Don't worry about it. Because guess what? In a few weeks, those issues might be gone, and then you're hunting on eBay. Then you got to do all that jazz. If you buy it at base price, if you buy it the day it comes out, no matter what, you're going to spend less money. Then if you have to go on eBay a week or 3 weeks later when, oh shit, some first appearance I didn't know was going to be important came out on this specific issue, I need to catch it. So back to catching those issues. So it's a lot of fun to be a collector, but it's a lot of stress. I don't just collect comics. I collect video games. I collect collector's editions of things. It's dumb. But at the same time, I'm in the mindset now that people 40, 50, 60 years ago, if they would have been in that mindset, I think this world would be different. I mean, I to this day wish I had a time machine. I so wish I had a time machine. And all I would do, one small, tiny, little, minuscule thing that I would do is I would go back in time. I'd find my father at a very young age, and I would find my grandparents at a very young age, and I go, look, you'll never believe this, but trust me, many, many years down the road, these comics are going to be valuable. Go buy these comics. Go buy multiple issues of these comics and store them in a vault and make sure no one touches that vault. Because, see, that move would propel my future to where I would have been born into a nest egg. And that's great. I would have these comics. I could maybe sell some. I could maybe not sell some. Who knows? It would be a lot of fun. it is a lot of fun, I should say, to think about if time machines existed. That's a great way to lead into my next point. Time machines. Let's talk Doctor Who. Now, some of you who don't know Doctor Who, I'll give you a brief summary. For those of you who watch the show, well, let's go along for the ride together. Doctor Who was created in 1963 by the BBC, and essentially it was supposed to be just a kid's show, and they saw longevity in it. It actually premiered the day after JFK's assassination, and it had very low numbers on its debut episode. So they were like, oh, wow, the show's going to tank and be awful. So they actually replayed this first episode right before the second episode the next week, and the ratings went through the roof. Everybody was like, wow, this show is really special. And that's obviously in the 60s. So, you know, it was a lot more acting and a lot less special effect. It was you were sitting there relying on what your actors could do. So they create this show. This guy, the Doctor, travels in a TARDIS, which stands for Time and Relative Dimension in Space. Adjust my nerd glasses. He is a Time Lord for the planet Gallifrey. Now, a Time Lord has a great ability. If a Time Lord dies or gets severely injured, they regenerate. And all that did was allow them to essentially make the Doctor whoever they wanted it to be. Once the first guy decided he was done, which really he wasn't telling BBC he was done, they told him, hey, we're moving on from you, nothing against you, but you've driven yourself into a state of dementia because of the show, and we don't want to see that. So there are 12 Doctors. In canon, there are actually 13 Doctors. Whatever. So most modern Doctors, Peter Capaldi, pretty awesome. He's an older dude. He's actually known for a show called The Thick of It, where he is filthy. So for him to become the Doctor is really interesting. He's been a huge Doctor Who fan for his whole life, as actually one of the interviews said. But see, the great thing about Doctor Who, I was introduced to it in 2007 and was told, watch this show. I watched a random episode, had no idea what was going on, and then was given the first two seasons box sets here. Watch these DVDs. That's how long ago. DVDs. Not Blu-ray, folks. We're talking DVDs. Not even VHS. That's a little too old school. We're going DVD. So, get this DVD box sets. And over Memorial Day weekend of 2007, I power watched 26 episodes of Doctor Who. Wow. Brilliant. If you can watch the first two seasons and get through just the touch of cheekiness, it is seriously one of the greatest written television shows of all time, and I will stand by that. All I'm saying is give the show a chance because you never know. I've given Strange Things a chance. Actually, I'll tell a kind of odd story. Ellis Fam will partially appreciate this. If you have no idea what Ellis Fam is and have no idea what I'm talking about, then don't worry about it. You're going to hear a cool story and be like, oh, that's interesting. So 2012, I started heavily listening to the Jason Ellis Show, and one of my favorite parts of the Jason Ellis Show were two people that weren't Ellis. Actually, it was Josh Rawdog Richmond and Jason Mayhem Miller. And one day they were in studio and they were talking, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the movie Enter the Void gets brought up. And they're like, dude, you know, they're talking on the show, this show is messed up, or this movie's messed up. Check it out, telling all these people on the radio. And so I actually took the time to go and watch it. And I remember I messaged Mayhem on Facebook, and I was like, dude, that movie was trippy as fuck. Like, the idea behind the movie is just messed up. It makes you really think. It's really crazy. But, so I'm, you know, talk to Mayhem there. And then we end up going to Ellis Mania. And I remember sitting down with Mayhem while him and Joel Mills ate a pizza and talking to him about Enter the Void. And he was like, yeah, like, isn't that whole movie just way messed up? Now, the old me, the me who I used to be before the Ellis Show, the me who I used to be before I had any confidence in who I am, that person would not have given anything a chance, just out of fear. What if I spend 2 or 3 hours watching something that turns into nothing, you know? So anyways, I'm just saying, give Doctor Who a chance, everybody. If you do watch the show already, that's awesome. If you don't watch the show, get on it. I'm going to jump to some questions on my Instagram. I have very few, but Wolfman812 wants to know, who are my favorite heroes and villains on both sides? I'm assuming he's talking about Marvel and DC. And some of the other questions he asked, I actually answered before this, so I won't necessarily address them, but I will also address my favorite story arc in comics. So first and foremost, my hero on the Marvel side, my favorite hero on the Marvel side, hands down, is Spider-Man. Peter Parker is awesome, but what makes a great hero is never the hero. It's a rogue gallery of villains. How creative can you be with your villains? So, Spider-Man's villains, pretty awesome. So to answer, and this is going to throw people off, my favorite villain from the Marvel Universe is not a Spider-Man villain. Granted, I like a lot of the Spider-Man villains. Shocker, Scorpion, Mysterio is my favorite Spider-Man villain, but he's not my favorite Marvel villain. My favorite Marvel villain is Thanos. Batshit crazy, over-the-top, psychotic, just madman. The Mad Titan Thanos, you know? To the DC side of things, my favorite DC hero, as you guys already know, is Batman. I said that earlier. It's all I read. I don't mind The Flash. I don't mind Green Lantern. Fuck Aquaman. Whatever, Wonder Woman. Man of Steel was a great movie. But Superman's not my favorite. Batman, Batman, Batman. So my favorite villain is actually a Batman villain. It is the Riddler. He's off his fucking rocker. The main thing the Riddler wants to do is just prove that he is smarter than Batman. That's his whole purpose. He wants to outsmart not only Batman, but Bruce Wayne. And I think that's just brilliant. It's not about killing people. He does kill people, but it's not about that. It's about everything else. So I have to go with the Riddler. Like, I wrote down in my notes, I wrote Joker, but I have to go with my gut. It's the Riddler. The Riddler is my favorite. And I think David Tennant, who actually played the 10th Doctor, would make a phenomenal Riddler in future movies. So if anybody in Hollywood hears that, get that fucking rumor started. Let's make it happen. All right, my next question is from AZ Red Dragons, also known as Jason from Know You Are. Know You Are is the shit, by the way. Anyways, he says, in GTA 5, I have to shoot this motherfucker off my boat while being towed down the freeway, and I'm driving behind it, and I can't figure out how to shoot that son of a bitch. Yeah, I know, you're Michael, I remember that. It was a very tough mission, and all I can tell you is, try harder. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Just try harder. You'll get it. Speaking of video games, I devastated recently, and I will not hold back on using that word, I devastated the Lego Marvel Super Heroes game, 100%ed it, got every achievement, got every character, downloaded the characters that I didn't have that were available for purchase, microtransactions, the wave of the future. Anyways, I want to end my podcast by thanking all the people that got me here so far in this life. My parents, obviously, my sisters, even though he's kind of a prick, my stepdad, Sarah, my wolf pack, my bandmates, Ellis fam, the Wolf Knives, I don't know, obviously, as far as my podcast is concerned, there's a big personal thanks that I need to put out there, and that is to Mr. Josh Richmond, also known as, and I'm sure everybody's tired of hearing it, he's also known as Raw Dog. Used to be on the Jason Ellis Show, and he has a podcast, Josh Figures It Out. Check it out. It's pretty much the coolest thing going. But I want to thank him because he gave me some words of encouragement leading up to me recording this, and hopefully those words of encouragement paid off and he can tell that I took his advice to heart. Now, that being said, we're going to end with one final thing. I'm going to actually, I'm going to actually let everyone ponder this question. What are you? Are you good? Are you evil? Are you somewhere in the middle? Because at the end of the day, you may not necessarily find yourself being a good or evil person, rather making the decision that may seem evil to some. That decision that may seem evil to some may actually be a great decision for other people, including yourself. But don't ever sell yourself short. Be yourself every day and don't be afraid to be yourself. You got one life. Don't be afraid to live it. This has, in fact, been Journey into Comics with me, Nate Phillips. This is the pilot episode. Hopefully there will be a second, maybe even a third. Thank you guys very much. Take care. And on that note, later.